to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you join us on Facing the Issues each and every day. We pray that it's a blessing, encouraging, educational, inspirational, and challenging to you as you listen to the broadcast, as you tune in. We invite you to ask others, invite others to join in the daily broadcast. And we invite you right after our monologue each broadcast, we invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion by dialing 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. That's the telephone number that goes right to the studios. Your telephone call rings the studios, goes right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, comments, dialogue, and discussion. I'm here today with Dr. Glenn Davis. Brother Davis is with us. We're looking forward to a lively discussion. We invite your telephone call and your discussion on the issue. We're talking about another Jesus, another Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a confusing world, a world where there's political upheaval, deceit, and darkness, and the pervading dual justice system, as we've seen just recently with the persecution, the prosecution of Donald J. Trump. And by the way, let me just simply tuck this in by way of a portion of my introductory remarks. We need to pray for the president. Can you imagine the pressure that he is under with the philosophy of just wanting to help America, do something to save America, do something to preserve our constitutional republic, doing so without pay, but with persecution and prosecution, and to be faced with the demons that he's faced with, the socialist Marxist Communist Party that wants to destroy the two-party system and have the socialist Marxist Democrats to rule over the ash heap of a former constitutional republic. That's what we're on the fast track for. But ladies and gentlemen, it's bad enough to have deceit and the darkness that pervades the political society, the political world. But ladies and gentlemen, it's just as frightening, if not more so, to find that the underlying condition, the underlying cause, in my most humble opinion, of what we're faced with today politically is the deterioration of the solid biblical theological truths that's found in the Word of God. We're talking about today another Jesus. Another Jesus. That word another comes from the basic Greek word heteros, which means a different Jesus, a totally different Jesus. We're talking about that today because there are several in the high-profile television broadcast ministry of preachers, evangelists, that are preaching a different Jesus, a total different Jesus. And it is detrimental to the Christian community. It's destructive to the morals, ethics, and values that we find in society. It's undermining the centrality of the Word of God. And we're going to be talking about that today. And we'll be inviting your telephone call, answering, asking the questions. We're going to be talking about also a book that is where I had the privilege of publishing back in 1984. It's called Could Jesus Sin? It's dealing forthrightly with the subject that we're talking about today. Could Jesus sin? Listen to it carefully. Let me just give you a little heads up. If Jesus Christ is not fully God in his humanity, how did he raise the dead? If Jesus Christ is not fully God in his humanity, how did he die on the cross and shed his blood to be efficacious for my sins and for yours? Those are the very serious points that we're going to discuss today in relationship to that subject. Another Jesus. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, never changing, no errors, always correct. Now, it may be that sometimes we don't understand a text. That doesn't mean that God made an error, that there's a mistake in the text at all. Contrary-wise, it means that we need to dig a little deeper and understand what the Scripture says. That's one of the problems that we find in modern Christianity and in the progressive Christian movement with the pop-up preachers or the pop-up churches with what I call pop-up theology, where Jesus Christ is misunderstood, the text misunderstood, and simply a willingness to have the numbers, nickels, and noses rather than study the Word, understand the Word. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 17, 17, the Scripture says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, not denominationalism, not some dogma from a Dr. Divine that's just popped on the scene, but what does the Word of God say? It is the truth. In fact, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. It's unchangeable. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Scripture says. That's truth. And yet we find today, just as the secularist George Orwell said so many years ago, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. That's exactly what we see today in the society in which we're living, a disdain for truth. We stand on the truth, and that's all we have to stand on, is the truth of the Word of God. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, and may I quote, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And by the way, when Jan Hus was being burned at the stake, he yelled loudly, "Truth shall prevail." Now listen, if I can just use a little parenthetical footnote to that, what we're watching today in the political scene, where there's the prosecution, the persecution of President Trump, I believe eventually truth shall prevail. I believe one of the greatest things that the prosecutor in Fulton County, Georgia, the greatest thing that that witch has done, Fannie Willis, the DA, by the way, it's a DA just for a county. It's not a DA for the state, not a DA for the federal government, not a district attorney on a national level, but a simple county district attorney that I believe, number one, is unconstitutional to be able to file a suit against the president for what he challenged on the presidential race of 2020. I believe that the truth will ultimately prevail. I believe that the truth will ultimately prevail. In fact, the number of people now in the official leadership in the state of Georgia that's coming forth and saying, "Oh, there were errors. There were problems. There were ballot mistakes. There were ballots that were mailed out that people had not asked for." So I think truth's going to prevail. So I believe that that's going to unpeel the onion in relationship to the truth of what happened in the 2020 election. So truth will prevail. And that's what we're talking about today in relationship to a theological doctrinal subject of who is Jesus Christ. Was he fully God and yet fully man? Or when God came to earth, called the incarnation, did God, that's the question, did God lay aside his deity to become a man and in the form of man down the cross for your sins and for mine? That's the question that we're going to talk about today. That's the challenge in this broadcast. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be careful in understanding what the Word of God says and promulgate truth and not error. There are enough errors in different facets of society today. We need to be careful. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer your questions about power backup equipment. The Tools for Time knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a wonderful benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the full staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Your invitation today: drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about another Jesus. Here's the question. When God came to this earth, called the incarnation, that's the theological doctrinal term, incarnation, when God came into the world and became man, Jesus Christ, the man, Jesus Christ, we refer to in the theological circles as the God-man, Jesus Christ, did he empty himself of his deity, or did he retain all of his deity and take on humanity? That's the question that begs to be asked, demands to be answered. I've got Dr. Glenn Davis with me today. Pastor Davis, we're thankful that you're with us, thankful that we can have some dialogue. That's my prayer, that will open the eyes of some that are listening to false teaching, false doctrine, false theology, and will understand what the Scripture really says. In fact, it's my prayer that today's Bible study will challenge our listeners to recognize and understand the enormity of the doctrine of Christology, of who Jesus Christ really is. Thank you for being here.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for inviting me to be here with you today on Fridays. It's always a pleasure to be here. I want to say good morning to my bride of 37 years. Amen. All my friends, amen, that are listening, amen, to the broadcast on today. Amen. To a special friend, amen, my brother from Hawaii.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're still praying for the people in Hawaii. They still need help.
Yes.
Amen. And if you can't help them in any other way, the best thing you can do is pray for them.
Absolutely.
Amen. Prayer will reach where other things can't.
Yes.
Amen. So we thank God for them on today. Amen. For Brother Sam Tiki, amen, by name. Mm-hmm. Amen. Very good friend and brother, amen, I had the privilege to work with for about 25 years out at the paper mill down in St. Mary's. Amen. Very good brother. Amen. And again, we're praying for the people that on Maui, mm-hmm. on the island of Maui. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and every other place all over the world.
Yes.
I understand even California is suffering some catastrophic events right now, amen, of rain and storms and different things mm-hmm. like that. And, you know, I guess in due process of time, we all may be facing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So prayer, amen, is key on today. But the main thing we want you to know and understand on today is all about who Jesus really is.
Amen.
Amen. And I thank God, because as I woke up this morning, amen, the Lord brought a scripture to my mind from the book of John chapter 4 about the woman at Samaria. And the scripture said up in the earlier part of those verses, amen, that he must needs go through Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
He must needs, with an S on the end of that word.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank and praise God for that, because God began to reveal to me, amen, that there are some must needs in this world today.
That's right.
That's the reason why he sent his son, because he knew that we were going to must needs a savior.
Right.
Amen. We must needs a healer.
Mm-hmm.
We must needs a deliverer.
Yes.
And we must needs someone to straighten this mess out that
amen.
Went on this week.
That's
amen.
Right. Absolutely.
So, you know, I thank God for that. Mm-hmm. And as I begin, amen, I think I called you, amen, on the other day. It just made me sick to my stomach. Amen. To be able to just look, just listen in. I mean, that's basically all. I didn't even want to look at the tube itself,
mm-hmm.
but I just wanted to listen to the conversation. And as I began to listen to all of those that were supposed to be so-called debating,
mm-hmm.
and of course, I told you it sounded like a scene from Hamlet or Macbeth,
yes.
where someone stepped forward to the front of the stage and started to give what is called a soliloquy.
Mm-hmm.
They're speaking the things that are on their mind, no matter who are listening,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't pertain to anything of any importance. It's like a play acting thing.
That's all they do in Washington.
They never ask any questions about Hunter Biden. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget about Cocaine Gate. Mm-hmm. They didn't say anything about how cocaine got into the White House.
That's right.
I mean, we need people that's going to truly step forth and run this country the way it should be and bring it back into what it should be based upon the infallible, inerrant Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
So I thank God, again, just for him giving me just a little something this morning to let me see and know and understand that the reason why he sent Christ in the first place is because he knew that we were going to must need a Savior at some point in time in our lives.
Amen. And that's every day for every one of us, each of us. I'm going to read, Pastor, a verse of Scripture, a verse or two of Scripture in Galatians. This sets the stage of the question, another Jesus, question mark. In Galatians, the first chapter, verse 6 and following, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the church at Galatia, the Apostle Paul says, I marvel, that is, I am astonished, I am absolutely amazed that you are so soon, that is, so soon after their conversion, removed, that means to desert or to revolt against, from him, speaking of Jesus, that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel. We're going to talk about that in a minute, which is not the gospel at all, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, we say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we receive, let him be accursed. That is a powerful, powerful statement.
Amen. Amen.
In that text.
Amen.
But ladies and gentlemen, just as the Apostle Paul was challenging the believers at Galatia for basically saying yes to Jesus, but then embracing a different gospel, another gospel. In fact, the word another, you don't need to take notes if you're driving in particular, but in the Greek text, another, there are two words, allos and etros. Allos, it means another of the same kind. Etros talks about another, a different kind, a different gospel. So the gospel is different that the Apostle Paul says they are now embracing at Galatia. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what's happening today in the society in which we're living in. We have those that are preaching another gospel, another Jesus, multitudes of the high-profile pastors and television evangelists and spiritual gurus across the nation with that slick, smooth, cunning, preaching another gospel, a different gospel. Some of these gurus literally preach that Jesus is only a man. Listen carefully. This is the crux of it. Make this statement, then we'll start taking our callers. But ladies and gentlemen, there are some that are preaching that when God came into the world via the virgin's womb, which is the incarnation where God becomes man, the incarnation. By the way, it's a wonderful study in the Luke's gospel, the first chapter, and Matthew, the first chapter. We'll get into that a little later if time allows in this broadcast today. But it's where God becomes man, the incarnation. So the question that begs to be asked demands to have an answer. When God came through the virgin's womb in the form of man, did he relent, leave off, surrender his deity, his divine attributes when he became a man? So just who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is God incarnate, God come into flesh. In fact, in Colossians 2:9, the scripture says, in Jesus we find the fullness of the Godhead, that's the triunity, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen. Amen.
So in the embodiment of a human being, a man, Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. I've said for many, many years, if Jesus Christ is not 100% God and 100% man, he's not God at all. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, there's one, and I'm going to say this, there's one preacher, and there are multitudes of others, but there's one that's so high profile. His name is Pastor Robert Morris. Robert Morris pastors the church, Gateway Church, in Dallas, Texas. Some of the research I've done says it has 71,000 members. Another one says it has 100,000 members. And this is supposed to be made up of several campuses, as they like to call it today. Let me give you a direct 100% verbatim quote from Pastor Robert Morris. He says, although Jesus was fully God, he laid down his deity so that he could be completely human, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus Christ came into the world, when you study the Gospels, when you study the New Testament, Jesus Christ was able to raise the dead, cause the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, is that possible if Jesus Christ is simply a man? If he laid aside all of his deity, how is it possible that his shed blood could be efficacious? That means beneficial for your sins and for mine. If Jesus Christ is just a man, there's no divinity, then all of the Gospels are a lie. All that we find in the Scripture is deceit.
Amen.
All that we find in the Scripture is fallacious and false and for naught. So, ladies and gentlemen, if it sounds that I'm passionate about this issue, I am. Because I'm saddened to see so many people falling after another gospel. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Dr. Davis. Dr. Yellenbud, how are you gentlemen
Good
doing
morning.
Today?
Good morning. Very blessed.
Doing great.
Very
pray that you
indeed.
Are.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Lay up your, where your heart is where you lay up your chest treasures. Is your treasure in Jesus, or is it in something a man has designed or made? It comes down to it. But I'd like to read something that's profound to me. It's, in my opinion, it's one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Mm-hmm.
The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the most perfect description of Jesus Christ in my eyes. That I could think
John,
of.
That's John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3.
Yes, 1, 2, and
right,
3. Correct,
right,
sir.
Right page, right column in my Bible. You're exactly right. So the point is, Jim, I am amazed, saddened, and shocked to find so many embracing a pastor. Listen, Jim, I've said this for many, many, many years. You can take a gallon of vitamin D grade A milk, crack the seal on it, put one drop of arsenic and shake it up. Who'd want to take the first drink? No one. No one. But yet we have those that, because a slick oratory, skillful person will stand in the pulpit and gain the adulation and the fellowship of thousands. He has the opportunity to preach the truth of the gospel, but preaches a lie. And as Franklin Graham said recently in Decision Magazine, it's the progressive Christianity. And he said progressive Christianity is going to send more people to hell than ever dreamed possible. And we find that taking place on a growing basis. But, Jim, one of the things that I think would be the, if you want to call it a consolation, is the fact that in Matthew chapter 24, verses 5 and following, one of the first signs of the last days is false teachers.
Amen.
False teachers. And so that's what we find today taking place. We have a proliferation of false teachers in America. And yet the sad thing is hundreds of thousands, if not millions, follow after them, believe them, and will accept what they say without researching the Scripture themselves. Jim, I'm thankful for you, brother. Thankful for your insight. Wonderful verse, three verses, though, by the way. Those are powerful verses. Those are three verses that I would be using in today's broadcast.
Beautiful.
And anytime I'm defending the deity of Jesus Christ biblically, I use those verses along with dozens and dozens of others, of which we'll talk about some of them on this broadcast today. In fact, this subject should take about 4 hours to properly cover. We're going to try to do it in the 2 hours that we have today. If AJ's listening, he's just going to have to flip that switch and let it run for about 2 hours and we get finished today.
Amen. Amen.
Jim, thank you so much for your call. God bless you,
sir.
Brother. Keep
God
looking
you,
up.
Brothers.
I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your comments, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Davis.
Good morning.
Good morning. And y'all stay hydrated and stay out of the heat. But anyway, Dr. Youngblood, all of this stuff, well, I got two statements. All of this stuff that's coming on Trump right now is because they're trying to throw the American public off of the Biden family, and especially Hunter Biden. And it is sad the way, like you told me, well, I listened to you once before, the four-digit letters like FBI, CIA, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they helped weaponize them. And all of them need to be prosecuted.
Yeah.
Can you give me your opinion on that?
Every one of them need to be prosecuted. Now, may I say, put a little sad footnote to it? I don't believe the Biden administration, the Biden family cabal, the Biden thieves, and the ones that have treasonously sold America out, I don't believe they'll ever be brought to justice. I don't believe the apparatus in Washington called the Republican Party, I don't believe they have the spine, the backbone, tenacity, or ability to bring them to justice as they should be. For example, with what Trump is going through now, Hillary Clinton claimed that the whole time that Trump was in office in his first presidency, the first 4 years, the whole time, and even now, she says he was an illegal president, that he was not legally elected, he should not have been in office, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Back in 2000, that with Al Gore and the battle that took place then, the Democrats fought it in court, claiming that Bush did not win, that Al Gore was the real winner. We have on and on and on where the Democrats, the socialist Marxist Democrats, can claim and question and challenge an election. But when Donald J. Trump does so, and they take the transcript of his telephone call and they clip out about 6 or 8 words and claim that's what he said, then, and that's exactly what they've done, because they're claiming that he asked the secretary of the election process in Georgia, Rathenberger, I think is his name.
Rathenberger
asked him to get me 11,780 votes. That's not what he said at all. He simply was going through this, this, and this, and this, and then that was part of the statement. They clipped that out. So the whole problem is we have a dual justice system for the conservatives, for the patriots, for the Christians, for the Republican Party. There's no justice. But for the socialist, Marxist, Communist Party called Democrats, they're the only ones that feel that they can say or do whatever they please and get by with it. So you're exactly right. And the sad truth is, this is the reason we need to focus on who is Jesus Christ, recognize that Christ is our only hope, Christ is our only answer, Christ, Jesus Christ, is the only one that has the authority over what is taking place today. We need to pray and ask God to intervene and give victory, clarity, and vindication for Donald J. Trump, placing him back in the office to hopefully, prayerfully, with God's divine intervention, save the Constitutional Republic before it's eternally, everlastingly too late. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call.
Can I ask God, one more question?
Yes, sir.
Can I ask one more question? I remember when Obama was running for office, what's her name? The lady with, because I even cut her off, she backed him up. I mean, she had billions of dollars. Oprah Winfrey.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He used to go to this church, and after they started criticizing him, he was just a front man. I mean, you know, like he didn't believe in God. I don't think.
Number one, cut through the chase, Kenneth. Our time is about out for the top of the hour news. But let's cut through the chase. Barack Hussein Obama was an illegal president. He wasn't qualified. He wasn't a natural-born citizen, and he was an Islamic jihadist, and he is part and parcel of what is taking place today behind the scenes with the Biden administration. He is the puppeteer that's pulling the strings for Joe Biden. So let's face it, we're watching Joe Biden as the front man and Barack Hussein Obama carrying out his third term in office via the puppet Joe Biden. Joe Biden can't move, speak, or say anything lest his handlers give him the words to speak through the earpiece to tell him what to say. So, Kenneth, thank you so much. You're spot on. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute top of the hour news break in just a second. But we're talking about Jesus. Who is Jesus? We need to understand more than anything else theologically, doctrinally, biblically. We need to get focused on and correct in our understanding. Who is Jesus Christ? He's either 100% God and 100% man, or he's not God at all. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell seems to be throwing cold water on the idea that the central bank is done with its recent series of interest rate hikes, Powell suggesting that more rate hikes may be needed to get inflation down below the 2% target rate set by the Fed. Powell speaking moments ago at the Federal Reserve's policy conference in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Never surrender, the caption a defiant former President Trump attached to his mugshot. It was released by jailers in Atlanta and posted by Mr. Trump on his Twitter or X account. Mr. Trump calls his indictment a travesty of justice. In the former president's words, "I did nothing wrong, and everybody knows it." On Wall Street this morning, stocks have so far been higher, but they're giving up some of their larger gains. Right now, the Dow is still up 32 points. More details, srnnews.com.
Do you have earned college credits but no diploma? Would you like to finish your certified degree program? Conservative Theological University can help. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE to schedule your interview appointment. Please leave your contact information for the admission staff to reach out to you. Today's the day. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, in the midst of this broad subject that we're boiling down to a gnat's breath, if you will, to be able to broadcast it today, we're talking about who is Jesus, or another Jesus, or is Jesus 100% God and 100% man? Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, I said it before the news break. Pastor Robert Morris preaches that Jesus was not divine, that he had to lay aside all of his deity in his humanity. Here's his direct quote. Although Jesus was fully God, and now that's an oxymoron, he laid down his deity so that he could be completely human, end quote. I would just simply say, wow, that statement is false. It is preaching a lie. It is preaching a false gospel. Just because he is has the microphone and mouthpiece speaking to thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, doesn't mean he is correct. Pastor Davis, what's your response to Robert Morris's statement where he says that Jesus is not fully God. What would you say to that?
Well, first, let me encourage the Christians, amen, the believers in Christ, amen, that it's critical mm-hmm. that we understand
yes.
that Christ did not lay down his deity, because if he did that, then he could not even realize within himself that he was or is the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
If he had laid his deity down.
Right.
And then when we look at the miracles that he worked, the miracle working of a power of God could not have functioned through his life without deity being in place and the Spirit being able to move through the deity that was in him.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know today that we are suffering at the hands of false teachers and people such as those, Dr. Youngblood, who are deceiving people by the millions.
Yes.
Now, when we look at preachers like you and I that will preach the truth of the gospel to them, and we tell them that in order to walk in harmony with God, there must be a change made in your life.
Amen.
They don't want to hear that.
Right.
So you have preachers like that telling them, preaching, I hear you saying, a cotton candy theology.
Right.
And a feel-good gospel.
Yes.
You can still do what you want to do and prosper. Mm-hmm. No, 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 no.
That's right.
How do you say it? 10,000 times. One more thousand for Brother Davis.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
11,000 times. No.
That's right.
This is what we're telling you on today.
Amen.
It necessitates a change in your life mm-hmm. and you emptying you, yourself of you first.
That's right.
First, you have to deny yourself. Sometimes you can be your biggest enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to deny yourself. This is the reason why he say, you can't be my disciple. First, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me.
Right.
So it's vital. It's very important for us to understand that Christ did not do these things. Let's make sure we understand the scripture in context.
Yes.
So that we can walk in harmony with God.
Absolutely. Pastor Davis, I'm looking at an article. Ask the question, did Jesus lay aside his deity? And then it introduces Philippians 2, 5 through 11. I'm going to read these verses because this is the end result. This is the answer. This is the direct opening of the proper understanding of what is being said in relationship to Jesus coming into the world. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form, that word is morphe, M-O-R-P-H-E, pronounced morphe. We get our word mannequin from that very word. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But listen to this, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant.
Amen.
And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is the Philippians 2 text where it talks about emptied himself. It is the word kano'o in the Greek text. We get our word kenosis. It means self-emptying. He emptied himself of his position in glory
Amen.
With
Amen.
God the Father
Amen.
And did not think it's robbery. That means he didn't think it was something to grapple or to hold on to in order to come into this world in the form of man, that he might die on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine. This particular article, the writer of this article says, many today believe that when Jesus took on flesh and become and blood, flesh and blood, he laid aside his divine nature and lived in this world as a man only, end quote. This writer says, I cannot stress strongly enough how wrong this belief is about Christ, for it completely misses the point being made by Paul in Philippians 2, where it says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. This writer goes on to say, we'll get back in a moment, Pastor, with the understanding of that Philippians text. This writer says, the text does not mean that Jesus laid aside his deity. This writer goes on to say, a friend from Bible college whose understanding has been influenced by this interpretation of Scripture once said to me that he, that's that man, operated, listen to this, this is what it connotes when you make those statements, and Robert Morris is the granddaddy of that. this person told me, this writer says, that he operated on a higher level than the Lord Jesus Christ. After I rejected his view, he said the following: I do operate on a higher level than Jesus did in his earthly ministry. I am a new creation. He was not a new creation until after his resurrection, end quote. According to my friend's comment, hopefully he's changed his view by now. Being born again means that we're being on a greater spiritual level than Jesus before he died on the cross. This is not only an insult to the sinless perfection of Christ's humanity, it's an outright denial of the deity of Jesus Christ. And that is a powerful statement, and that's exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus came into the world, listen carefully, then we'll take our next caller. When Jesus came into the world, according to Luke's gospel, found in the parallel gospels, I like Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 35 in particular, well, the inner thought, verse 26 through about verse 38. But when the angel Gabriel told Mary that she was going to have a son, she remonstrated openly. She said, how is this possible and I've not had sex with a man? And the angel Gabriel explained to her that that which is taking place in you is of God. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and that which is in you is God operating. I'm paraphrasing the text, of course. That's found in verse 33, 34, and 35 in Luke's gospel, the first chapter. Ladies and gentlemen, the person that claims that Jesus Christ relented, surrendered his deity when he came through the womb of Mary and became a human being, in the flesh of a human being, they're denying the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're denying the fact that Jesus' birth as a human did not diminish his deity. In fact, Pastor, on page 121 in my book, Could Jesus Sin, I make the statement, we're talking about Jesus and his divinity. Jesus had the power to forgive sins, Matthew 9:6. Jesus had the power over nature, Luke 8:25. Jesus had power to give eternal life, John 17:2, that is. Jesus had power over life and death, John 10:18. Jesus had power to heal the physically ill, Mark 1:29-34. Jesus had power to cast out demons, Mark 1:29-34. Jesus had power to transform the body, Philippians 3:21. Jesus had power to save from the, as I put it, from the guttermost to the uttermost, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. And I could go on and on. So if Jesus Christ was not divine, Pastor, how could he have done those things?
My. You know, it's when you listen to the various points that you just got finished making, I mean, how could any of that be denied?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then again, too, I do understand how it can be through an unbelieving mind.
Yes.
The sin of unbelief, and I'm reading that right now in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, caused many not to be able to enter into Christ's rest.
That's right.
He said, because of unbelief. Now, we are warning you on today. Now, we may not be able to answer every single question from your inquiring mind, but we ought to be able to give you enough that you might believe the gospel.
Amen.
That's our point on today. Believe the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to die on the cross and take it personal for your sins.
Amen.
If you don't believe it like that, my friend, then you are serving a lost cause.
Absolutely.
Because, again, getting back to the scripture, it's telling us, amen, when we disobey the voice of the Holy Ghost. Let me go to Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll start in that verse number 7. It says, wherefore the Holy Ghost saith, today, that's right now, If ye will hear his voice. Mm-hmm. You have to have a will want to hear God's voice. Now listen, harden not your hearts. That's a commandment to you. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation. We're talking about the day that God brought Israel out of Egypt, and when they got into the wilderness and Moses began to give them what thus saith the Lord, they didn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
And look at all the provision, Dr. Youngblood, he gave them. When he gave them bread, manna from heaven, they started complaining. They wanted meat. When he gave them quail, that still wasn't enough. They started complaining. So, guess what? God caused them to wander around in that wilderness for 40 years, and many of those who would have entered the promised land, they ended up dying in the wilderness.
Right, because of unbelief.
And this is what can happen to you. Unbelief can stagnate.
Mm-hmm.
your faith in Christ to a point to where you believe any old wind that comes by.
And that's
you see that doctrine that you just got finished saying Robert Morris is preaching?
Right.
Some of them right now. You and I are preaching as hard as we can. We wipe the sweat from our heads every Sunday. Amen.
Right.
And they won't believe. We can beat our fists on the desk and pound it as hard as we can until our hands start bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
They want to believe that itching ear sermon.
Absolutely.
That's not what we're here
Absolutely.
For.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And that's
we have to understand, we know that the flesh is in direct opposition to God.
Yes.
So what we're trying to do is get you to empty yourself of yourself so that you can hear,
so that
your hearts won't be hardened when God presents his word to you.
Hearing and believing the truth is the key.
Amen.
I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go with the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing
Praise
great. I pray that you are.
Yes. It's like people have put themselves on the cross, and they need to get off the cross because we need to use the wood, to use it to put Jesus saves. And it's like the name Jesus, unless it's truly felt in the heart, it's like a normal thing to say. It doesn't have the rightful place it should have in the heart. And I get told I'm old school, but that's all right. If it's truth with love, Jesus brings people. We got so many evangelists, pastors, people to use in the ministry out here in the street. And once they're touched, they will be good witnesses. You know what? To preach the gospel, to teach the gospel. Because it's like, I'm not judging, but it's my, I don't know how I'm doing this. But I believe we serve a mighty God. If you can't look at his birth, his death, his resurrection, and how he sits on the throne and intercedes on our behalf, not just one or two or 20 or 30 people in a family, it's the whole world. Now, what a mighty God is that?
Amen. And Terry, that's the very point that we're making today, that we serve a mighty God. His name is Jesus Christ. And if we diminish his deity, if we subtract his deity, he's simply a man. And if he's simply a man, that means his blood is not divine blood. Because the blood that flows in the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, is God's blood. What flowed at Calvary's cross was God's blood. It's God's blood in the veins of Jesus that is divine blood, sinless blood. In fact, according to the scripture, Jesus knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He did no sin, 1 Peter 2:22 and Hebrews 4:15. He had no sin, 1 John 3:5 and John 14:30, Hebrews 7:26, Jesus Christ was absolutely sinless. So the point I make with that, Terry, if Jesus Christ had laid aside his divinity and he had only human blood, that's what you're saying, that's what that person is saying that says that, that means that his blood is not sufficient to save us from our sins. That means his blood is sin-tainted blood, it's Adamic blood, and not God's blood, and therefore it diminishes anything that would be called serving Jesus Christ as God incarnate.
Amen.
So it's very important. It's very, very important that we understand who Jesus Christ is.
Yes, and we need to know who he is because I'll say it, all of these different religions coming into America and what we were supposed to be founded upon, it's like they're stronger than Jesus. The Holy Spirit, we know those that have had an encounter with the Holy Ghost, they are never the same.
Absolutely.
But now you're finding them in the crack house.
Yep.
The hotel.
One of the things, Terry, that we need to say, and I'll let you go, we need to say this, is that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, no diminution of his deity, no reduction of his attributes as God. He was still omnipresent. He was still omniscient. He was still omnipowerful, all-powerful, omniscient, And absolutely all of the attributes of God were in Jesus. In fact, it's Jesus' blood that makes that possible. It is through the blood of Jesus that there's justification by faith. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that there's redemption. It's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that there's the closeness that we have with God. There's the peace through the blood of Jesus. There's no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. There is holiness by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's redemption by his blood. There's cleansing by his blood. There's the washing through his blood. There's victory through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could go on and on and on. And all of that would be impossible if Jesus Christ had laid aside his deity when he came into this world. Terry, thank you so much for your call. You're spot on. May you have a blessed day today.
And then Dr. Youngblood, now listen, you explained that very well. If he had not had sinless blood, that would make him a sinner.
That's right. Oh, absolutely.
And then he would need a Savior.
Absolutely.
So then, again, let's make sure we understand it to the fullness. The Bible says that Christ was just like a spotless lamb, without blemish. And when he shed his blood on the cross, that was sufficient to appease the wrath of God against all mankind. So guess what? All we got to do is accept that and believe. For the Roman road in Romans chapter 10 that we preach all the time. For with the heart man believeth, unto righteousness. Amen. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
So again, we couldn't call on his name if he had tainted blood.
That's right.
So it's important for us to know that.
If he had laid aside his deity, there'd be no God.
Amen.
He'd simply be a man.
Amen.
And for Robert Morris to say dogmatically, absolutely dogmatically, and I find it fascinating. Let me read it again. His direct quote, although Jesus was fully God, now makes a statement that's an oxymoron. It can't be that he's fully God if he's laid aside his deity. Although Jesus was fully God, he laid down his divinity so that he could be completely human, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, in the Philippians 2 text, verses 5 through 11, where it talks about he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of man. He made himself of no reputation. That is, he left his heaven's glory to come to earth's gloom. The phrase literally means he emptied himself to make himself empty. The self-emptying of himself did not say that he had emptied himself of his deity. Does not say that he surrendered his power. He did not surrender his deity. Theologically, it's called the kenosis question. And as I say also, as you look at the text, verse 7, it says, and took upon himself, here's the key, Pastor Davis, and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. It said he took upon himself. It's an addition, not a diminution. It is an addition. Here it is, God come into flesh, and the God-man, here's God, coming into the world, and he took upon himself the form, the morphe, the outward show, the humanity of a human being, of a person. So here's God wrapped in flesh.
Amen.
I want to use the term wrapped in flesh. The reason we call it the incarnation of God.
Amen.
In fact, in Matthew's gospel, the first chapter, the 18th verse through about verse 23, we find it talking about, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It's an impossibility for that to take place, Pastor, if he had laid aside his deity.
Amen.
A non-deity, no deity, just a simple human being, you can shed all the blood in the world, and it would not be efficacious, sufficient to save anybody from their sins. So he took upon himself the form of man. It is an addition, not a subtraction, coming into the likeness of man. He did not reduce or diminish his deity 1 ounce. And I could go to dozens and dozens of scripture, Pastor, if the time would allow us to do so, that validates that. Robert Morris, the pastor of that large church, said that Jesus had no deity on the earth in his earthly ministry. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's an absolute fallacious statement. It is absolutely, totally opposite for what the scripture tells us at all. In fact, I'm looking at an article that I'll just read you blurbs from. What is the kenosis question? kenosis, kenoo, self-emptying. That's the understanding from the Greek text to the English. What does it mean that Jesus emptied himself? Let me just read you a few words from this individual writer. The term kenosis refers to the doctrine of Christ's self-emptying or his incarnation. Emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. The word translated emptied is the word kano, which we get our word kenosis, that is the self-emptying. Jesus did not empty himself of his divine attributes, this writer says. No such attributes are mentioned in the verse. And it is obvious the gospels that Jesus possessed, in the gospels that Jesus possessed the power and wisdom of God, claiming, calming the storms, Jesus displayed his divine power. Coming to earth, the Son of God did not cease to be God, and he did not become a lesser God. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity live in him bodily, according to Colossians 2:9.
Amen.
I stated that earlier. In Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This writer goes on to say, Christ emptying of himself and laying aside the privileges that were his in heaven. Rather than stay on the throne in heaven, Jesus made himself as nothing, as a nobody. When he came to the earth, he gave up his divine privileges with God. Veiled in glory, he chose to occupy the position of a slave.
Amen.
The self-emptying of the Lord Jesus Christ did not empty himself of his deity. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a footnote that this writer has. There's some false teachers who take the concept of kenosis or self-emptying by saying that Jesus gave up all or some of his divine nature when he came to earth. This heresy is something referred to as the kenosis theory, but a better term is kenosism, which literally is talking about to be distinguished from the biblical understanding of his self-emptying. The kenosis also deals with Christ, that Christ took on, did not reduce, but took on. He added the human nature to his divine nature. I couldn't have said it better myself, ladies and gentlemen. We need to understand that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. It is God coming to this earth through the womb of Mary, taking on himself an addition, taking on, adding to his deity, the shroud, the morphe, the outward show of humanity. Pastor Davis, we've got a few moments left. Share with our listeners the importance of understanding that Jesus Christ is God come into flesh.
Well, let's make sure we understand the Bible in the fullest context.
Yes.
Let the Bible speak for itself. In the book of John, chapter 17, verse 5, this is what Jesus said. He said, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was."
Amen.
That answers the whole question.
Absolutely.
Puts it in a nutshell,
that's
which
right.
You just got finished saying.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand the Bible in the full context. God is speaking. We're asking questions, but he's giving us the answers all the time.
Amen.
But our problem is we're not listening.
Not looking.
Amen. Amen. So listen, this is why we say, put the cell phone down.
That's right.
Don't pick that up when you get ready to read the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up the printed text, amen, that
amen.
God has allowed you
amen.
The privilege to have, amen, and trust and believe in the word that you are reading, amen?
Scripture.
Because he said, my words, they are spirit and they are life.
Scripture interprets scripture, and unless we allow the scripture to interpret scripture, we can believe whatever someone might say, whatever someone might preach or teach. I'm looking at my book on page 64. Let me summarize with this. The Philippian passage concerning the self-emptying or the kenosis of the Son of God was introduced in connection with the practical exhortation to have the mind or the attitude of Christ, which all believers are exhorted to emulate. Christ did not grapple or grasp at being an equality with God as it had to be retained by energy or effort. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11, the scripture states that Christ made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. This was an addition, not a subtraction. Jesus Christ, God incarnate, became veiled with human flesh, thereby becoming the God-man. It is to this question that seemingly has endless debates in the world today and needs to be understood that Jesus Christ is God, come into flesh, died on the cross, shed his rich red royal blood, that whosoever will may be saved.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune